big thing to understand is that this disease is not native to California, but we cannot get rid of it. So established in the state that we have to learn to live with it.
Hi, I'm James Osborne, park ranger at the Golden Gate National Recreation Area in San Francisco, California, and I'll be your host for this episode of Earth to Skies Climate Cast, in which we will explore the effect that climate change may have on a plant disease known as sudden oak death. Northern California's redwood forest ecosystem is one of several threatened by the pathogen Phytophthora ramorum, which causes the death of infected tan oak and oak tree species that form part of the forest understory. Since the pathogen's discovery in Europe in the mid-1990s, the disease has spread from Europe to nurseries in California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, and has escaped and become a threat to forest ecosystems along the West Coast. The sudden oak death pathogen thrives in cool, wet climates, especially in the foggy coastal redwood forests. Many plants can be carriers of the pathogen, such as the widespread California bay laurel, but the disease only proves fatal to oak and tan oak. Oaks are one of the few tree species that survive the shady forest floor beneath the towering redwoods, and as sudden oak death continues to reduce their population, the forest ecosystem will continue to change. Scientists ponder how climate change will affect the prevalence of sudden oak death. Will a warmer and moister climate increase oak trees' susceptibility to the disease? To answer these questions, I called up Allison Forestell, a fire ecologist for the Bay Area Network of National Parks, and Professor Matteo Garboletto, an associate professor at UC Berkeley and forest pathology specialist, to ask them how sudden oak death may change in the future. I began my discussion with Allison by asking her to describe, in her own words, sudden oak death and its effects on the forest community.
The sudden oak death is a pathogen. It's closely related to fungi, but it's not actually a fungus. It's a water mold, technically. And it's really closely related to the disease that caused the Irish potato famine, just to provide a little bit of context. And it travels in water, so it's spread by fog and rain drip. And it can live on hundreds of plants in the Bay Area, but it only kills a few species. And the species that are killed by the disease are oak trees. Tan oaks are the most affected, because that's the one species where the disease can reproduce on the leaves and then get into the bark and kill the tree.
In her 2007 to 2009 research report on sudden oak death, Allison indicated that the disease would increase the amount of fuel for forest fires by creating more dead wood to burn. I asked her if changes in fire management would be necessary to combat these effects.
If fog patterns change with climate change, it would really depend. If we got more fog, then the disease would probably spread more quickly because sudden oak death likes wet environment. But at the same time, there would be fewer days when a fire would be likely to burn and spread. On the other hand, if with climate change we got less fog, sudden oak death might spread a little bit less quickly, but there would be greater chance of a wildfire because there would be more hot, dry days.
I see. So you really have to plan for sort of both those scenarios because it's not clear in the long term.
Yeah, I think we're probably more likely to have less fog, from what I've read.
Yes, more water in the oceans, but less in the air.
Exactly.
Professor Garboletto also believes fog to be an important factor in the future of sudden oak death.
The reason why we think that the coast of California is seeing such a significant level of the epidemic caused by sudden oak death is because survival is generally enhanced by high levels of fog. So potentially, if global warming is bringing more fog, we may see larger amounts of the pathogen surviving through the dry season, and then there will be higher levels of the pathogens to start the new infection process, when rainfall starts to happen in the state. So, again, more even equal levels of rainfall or more rainfall, warmer temperatures, and more fog are going to translate into higher epidemic levels.
Although climate change may increase the cases of sudden oak death, there are things that the everyday person can do now to prevent the spread of the disease. Washing your boots and your bicycle after moving through an area with known cases of sudden oak death is always smart, as well as never moving firewood from one of these areas. Both Allison and Professor Garboletto believe that education is key in preventing the spread of sudden oak death.
pathogen is not necessarily everywhere. So one of the things that's important to know is, do I live in an area that has a lot of the pathogen? And there's lots of ways that people can learn that. There's a couple of websites. www.suddenoakdeath.org is the most complete one, has links to all of the other ones. But there are a lot of activities and there's lots of opportunities for people to actually learn whether in their local area, the area the pathogen is extensively established or not. And that makes a big difference in terms of how you deal with the pathogen. The three most important things to do are, if you can eliminate some of the extra bay laurels in your property that are not as important, that will decrease the level of the epidemic. If you have some oak trees that are very valuable, or oak trees that would represent a risk if they died and fell, can preventatively treat them by using a chemical that increases the strength of trees specifically for sudden oak death. And then the third thing, also make sure that if you have infected plant material, you try to get rid of it in a way that actually doesn't spread the pathogen. And this includes composting, drying out, or burning the plant material.
By knowing what preventive measures you should take, you can help reduce the spread of sudden oak death in our forests and help protect our ecosystems. Even though the climate is changing, you can still take action to protect our planet. Earth Disguise Climate Cast is made possible through an innovative partnership between the National Park Service and NASA. The theme music was composed and performed by Karen Zavoga. Each episode is written and produced by employees and partners of the National Park Service. For more information on the NASA Earth to Sky project, and to learn more about how climate change is impacting our national park system, visit earthtosky.org.